Everybody, good morning. It's a great pleasure for me to be with you this morning, and Eddie and some of the friends have asked me just to speak for a little while on just some of my experiences since I last saw you, and then we'll have a wee look at the scriptures. I was just saying to Eddie on Thursday, I said, you know, Eddie, it must be 2 years since I saw the good folks at New Mills. And there's an awful lot of water going under the bridge since then. After my visit to New Mills, I was none the worse of it, let me assure you that. But on May coming 2 years ago, I just developed very, very suddenly a terrible pain in my left leg. And I thought it was a pulled muscle, and I got a wee bit of numbness in my left foot, and we thought it was a combination of nerve and muscle damage. But instead of getting better, it got worse. And there was a period of almost 3 months where I got slowly worse and worse, and the medication got increased more and more. And there was indeed a kind of time when a lot of what I recollected, my wife assured me it wasn't very true what I was remembering. Maybe that's me normal, I don't know. But the doctor eventually sent us to the hospital for some scans and tests, etc. But before I went in, I think they had realized there was something quite seriously amiss. Well, we arrived at the hospital, and this is as I remember it. Let me just share one thing with you. I finished up for about 10 or 11 days or something, confined to bed. And the consultant I was under was a lovely, lovely gentleman called Dr. Enod. And he came in to me and he says to me, John, have I got a number of questions I need to ask you? I says, right. I say, well, before you start, Dr. Enod, let me just say something to you. What I might tell you today would be the truth, the whole truth, but it might be anything but the truth. So just you take what I tell you, and you just take what you think is true. Well, to cut a long story short, I think, as I remember it, we had one visit to the consultant, then I had a second one to follow up. And when I went to the second one, Dr. Enod's co-worker, Dr. Gordon, who I'm under at the moment, he took one look at me and he says to a nurse, get Mr. Gillespie into that bed there. And he pointed to a bed. I remember that, but I have no idea where in the hospital I was. And the nurse, I can remember the nurse saying, Dr. Gordon, you can't put Mr. Gillespie in there. That's a lady's ward. And Dr. Gordon said, Mr. Gillespie, this hasn't a clue who's in there. Put him in that bed. And to cut a long story short, I was confined to bed for about, I think it was 10 days, 10 or 11 days, while they waited in the results of the scans. So the results came back that there was, they had found a tumour in the base of my spine, and it had obviously been in the blood as well, and it affected various parts of the body. But one of the main parts that that manifested itself was in this problem with my leg. And it's left a lot of residual damage to both muscles and nerves in the leg. So the walking's not particularly great, but just very, very slowly, bit by bit, we're able to walk a wee bit further. And the good news is, I think it was about 2 months ago, I graduated from being able to do the dishes once a day to getting to do them 3 times a day. So the improvement's quite dramatic. But one of the things that I do remember about being in hospital was that the tremendous number of cards that came in. And one of the nurses, she may be an auxiliary, but she was one of the ones that was dedicated to to my needs. Wonderful, you know, she'd do this and she'd do it and do that and she'd do it, and it was wonderful. Because, as I say, for a time I wasn't allowed up, and then when I did get up, the physiotherapist came and says, well, let's see you walking. And I got out of the bed for the first time, and I took a step and collapsed. One step. So I got back in there. She says, that's enough for today. I said, well, that was wonderful progress. But the second day she came back, I took about three steps, holding on to a frame and back. And just very, very slowly, things began. But what I was going to say is, this Berta was her name. Berta, she was my number one carer. She says, John, where on earth are all these cards coming from? I've never seen so many cards in my life. I says, well, that's just all my friends. I says, I've got so many friends in the church I go to at Wood Park, and I've got friends here and there and there. And I says, that's just the response. And it became very obvious that there was a great amount of prayer went up for me that I would perhaps be not very much aware of at that time, to be perfectly honest. And Joseph was just sharing with me before we went to prayer that Irene, since she heard the problem, that she's prayed for me every day. And there's a lot of folks like that that have prayed every day. And I could just write across all of that these past 18, 21 months or so. God is faithful. When I went into the hospital, I'm a great believer in just making use of the Gideon Bibles that are there. And I like to use their Gideon Bibles. It just sits on the table and lets them know that the work that the Gideons do is appreciated as they put the Bibles in. But I do remember in these early days, I'd read a chapter of the Bible, and I'd stop and say, I have not got a clue what I've just read. Can't even remember a word. And I stopped reading just for a wee while. But what I did have was a little book that I was given on my 70th birthday. And it's just one of these ones that maybe has half a dozen verses, just for each day, morning and evening, morning and evening. And I remember one day in particular, as I was, that was during this 10 days where I wasn't allowed up, early in the morning, I opened this little book. And, you know, you just wonder what lies ahead. And the wee verse that was at the top, leading into the other verses, was, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I thought, well, that's good enough for me. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Well, I would say that I got lots and lots of lovely cards. Some people sent maybe on a weekly basis a card. There was one man that I didn't know very well, and he sent maybe every 6 weeks or so just a wee card to say, we're praying for you and we're thinking about you. And he always signed off at the bottom, yours, listen to this, yours because of Calvary. And he put his name and his wife's name and his son's name. Yours because of Calvary. And that's the secret, you see. We're all bound together because of the work of Calvary. Well, that was a great encouragement, a simple encouragement to me. I am the Lord that healeth thee. We were thinking just a few weeks ago, the first time I spoke at Wood Park in the evening for a while, and I had been given Acts chapter 3 to speak on. And it's the story of you remember Peter and John went to pray? They met a lame man on the way, and he asked for alms, held out his palms. And this is what Peter did say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And in that wonderful story, this lame man, he immediately, don't know how many years he had lain at that particular begging point at the temple. How many years he had been there, we don't know. But immediately, the Bible says, his ankles received strength. And he got up and he was leaping and dancing and singing and shouting and praising God. You see, it was immediate, but my healing wasn't immediate. It was a long-term thing. And I remember just before I got out of hospital, I think I was in for about 3 weeks. And a lot of the family had come down one weekend to visit us. And I remember, with the help of a nurse, getting from the ward. She showed me, I had a Zimmer frame. And she showed me how to work the Zimmer frame. Imagine having to be shown how to work a Zimmer frame. You think it's quite simple, but well, that's quite technical. And she said, "You're not doing it right, John." I said, "Well, what am I doing wrong?" So she explained. I said, "Okay, right." And I managed to walk, and I think it must have been about 30 metres or something. That's 35 yards in old money. And then I managed to walk back again later on. But, you know, during that time, the treatment I got, to put it bluntly, didn't agree with me very much, and I didn't agree with it. And I had terrible times of nausea and sickness. And I remember the doctor, Dr. Enod, he was quite concerned about the amount of weight I was losing. And so was Elizabeth. And I would say, "I'll try this," and I didn't like it. And I had to drink, and I'm not a very good one at drinking fluids. And Elizabeth would bring a glass of orange and a glass of this and a glass of that. And they're all lined up there. And I'm saying, "Elizabeth, can you not see I'm not drinking these?" And another one come and say, "You know this." I just had this problem. But he sent the dietitian. And the dietitian came in, and she's a lovely lady. And she says, "Now, listen to what I'm going to say, and I don't want you to tell anybody else what I'm going to tell you this afternoon. And turned to Elizabeth and said, "Now, Elizabeth, I want you to go into the fridge, and I want you to throw out all your semi-skimmed milk. I want you to throw out all your low-fat butter. I want you to throw out all this." And she says, "Fill it up with full-fat milk. Fill it up with full-fat butter. Fill it up with cream and cakes and chocolate bits." I say, "Speak up, I'm liking what I'm hearing here." But very slowly, after the treatment finished, the chemotherapy, after that finished, the sickness subsided, and you can see I put on a lot of weight, and I'm now going on a diet to get rid of some of it. So an all-divided world, isn't it? And then I went through quite a number of weeks of radiotherapy up in Glasgow, and the way the friends just sort of say, "Right, you're going up there every day. I'll take you. I'll take you anytime you want. Just let us know, and I'll take you, and I'll take you." And the interesting thing was, one of my great problems, I wasn't worried about the radiotherapy. My problem was, how on earth am I going to cope with travelling every day for 3 weeks? Because I'm not a good traveller unless I'm driving. And I thought, "Oh, dearie, dear." And, you know, the Lord answered my prayers in an absolutely amazing way. I just shared with the Lord, "You know, how are we going to cope with this travelling, Lord? You need to just help." Well, on my second or third visit to the hospital in Glasgow for this treatment, when I went out for my first consultation, I says to the consultant up there that I was under, I says, "Now, can you tell me, doctor, why down in here they're all concerned about how my back's getting on?" And I said, "I keep telling them down there, I've never had a pain in my back. I wouldn't have known anything was wrong." I says, "My pain's always been in my leg." She says, "Oh." And I says, "I've still got a niggle there yet, after all these." She says, "Let's have an x-ray." So we had an x-ray. And the result of the x-ray came back on my third visit up to Glasgow. And as we were leaving, the lady doctor shouted, "Dr. Featherstone, doctor, very nice lady. She says, "John, I need to speak to you. Says, you know, we did an x-ray." "Yes." "We've got the results back of your x-ray." I said, "Oh, right, okay. Now, here's the results of your x-ray." She says, "You've been complaining about a pain in your thigh." "Yes." "Well, we know why you've had a pain in your thigh." And so she showed me the x-ray, and on the femur, there was this great big chunk had been eaten away. And there obviously had been something there around about the muscles and the nerves. And she says, "So, what we've decided in your absence, I said, well, this sounds good, you know. What we've decided in your absence is that we need to, the orthopedic surgeon down in here is not happy with this. And she says, it's an accident waiting to happen. And she wants you to have an operation to put a pin in your femur. I said, right, okay. See, so what we've agreed on, with your approval, is this is Tuesday. You'll come up tomorrow again, and you'll have another session of your radiotherapy. Then whenever you leave here, you go straight into your hospital. That's Wednesday afternoon. And he says, first thing on Thursday morning, you'll have an operation to put a pin into your femur, and then you'll have 2 days recovery, and you'll be back up here on Monday. I said, right, okay. But says, the good news is, if you wish, and it's just if you wish, I have reserved a bed for you for 2 weeks in Glasgow if you feel you don't want to travel. I thought, well, isn't that a wonderful answer to prayer? You get a major orthopedic operation so you can get a bed up in Glasgow. So that resolved in a wonderful way the problem with the travelling. Well, what do we say? We look back and we give God thanks. And we give God thanks for people like you, the friends down in Ayr, and from almost people you wouldn't think would know me, sending cards and telling us of their prayers. Just about 2 months ago, and with this I finish this part of this story, about 2 months ago I was getting out of the car, and the lady right across the road, she was getting out her friend's car. Jane's her name. I don't know what her friend's name was. And she shouted over, all right, John? I said, yeah, fine. How about you, Jane? Yes. And she says to her friend, come on over, and I'll introduce you to John. She says to her friend, this is John. John, this is, can't remember what her name was, but she told me who it was. She says, we're part of the Alloway Church prayer group. And she says, since we've heard of your illness, we've been praying for you every time the group meets. And I thought, wow, I never knew there was such a prayer group in the Alloway Church. And didn't know Jane went to it. But then there was Jane and her friend. She says, that's right, we've been praying for you. So we groups of people all over, people for the Men's Fellowship and the Free Church and the Baptist Church, all praying. And it was quite wonderful. So this is, Eddie thought this would be a wonderful opportunity just to say thank you personally to the friends in New Mills. I'm going to pay a special thanks to Eddie and Frank. They were great visitors both when I was in Glasgow and when I was in Ayr. And they were also great visitors on a Monday night because that was the ladies' group down in Ayr, you see. And Elizabeth, she's a heat bummer there, so she has to go to that. And Pat and Sheila and sometimes one or two others, they used to come down to join the ladies, and they offloaded Eddie and Frank, and they made my supper for me. So it was a fine arrangement that they came and they would make the tea. Elizabeth would leave out a few goodies and then even sometimes even washed up the dishes after them. So it was really good. So these are sort of just some special things that come to mind as we think of folks that we love. And you know, the thing is, it's all because of Calvary. I'm going to read just a few verses and say just a little thing. I don't know when I'm supposed to finish, Eddie, but I'm just going to enjoy myself. And I thought we were getting soup, but it's not to 4 o'clock, so it'll no matter. I'll tell you a very interesting thing that happened just 2 weeks ago there. A man in our church, John Grant, this was at our coffee morning, and I was walking from A to B, and John looked at me and says, what on earth's wrong with you, John? I said, what do you mean? He says, you're limping. I said, John, have you no noticed I've been limping for the past 22 months? I said, no, right, okay. Well, I said, that's how the illness has affected me. So it's unbelievable that he saw me all these times and never realised there was a problem. But I'm not going to talk to you a wee bit just for 5 minutes, about a man called Jacob. And I was thinking about this. In Jacob, he was a rascal. Right from his birth, he was a rascal. A cunning rascal. And towards the latter part of his life, he had lost his wife, and he had a great crowd of, a great family, people of Israel, the start of that. And he was very, he did the dirty really on his brother Esau. And a long number of years had elapsed, and he was coming back to put things right with his brother Esau. And he was worried about it, because Esau was a, he was quite a character as well. And he's got all his family, and he had other wives. He'd lost his real love, but he had other wives, and a great family, and a great number of flocks and that. And they come to this brook, the Jabbok, and he gets his wife and his family and his herds, and they all go across the brook. And the Bible says, listen to what it says in Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against this man, the man touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob. That means a rascal, a scoundrel. But your name will be called Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray, what is your name? And he said, why is it that you ask after my name? Didn't give him his name, it was the God of heaven. And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel. And the reason for that was, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, this is Jacob, the following morning, as he passed over Peniel, the sun arose upon him, and he halted, or he limped, upon his thigh. I start to think about Jacob when I think about myself. And I'm going to leave three W's with you about this little incident in the life of Jacob. The first one was that he was alone. But I want to put that, instead of just saying alone, that Jacob was waiting. And then Jacob was wrestling. And then Jacob was walking. Jacob was alone when he had that special meeting with God. And you know, we're here as a big group this morning. But you know, there's a sense where we're here as individuals. So we're alone and we're waiting. And we're maybe waiting to hear what God's going to say to us. Jacob had a lot of problems. Maybe you've got a lot of problems. He didn't know how to handle, he didn't know what the future was going to hold. And he was concerned. And he got face to face with God. And he was alone. And he was waiting. God answered his prayer in a remarkable way, because it resulted in a wrestling match. And it went on all through the night. And sometimes, you know, when we come face to face with God and the things from the Bible, we wrestle with them. I was only about eight and a half or so, just over 8 years old when I became a trusted the Savior. And I never had the kind of wrestling that Jacob had. But as you get older and burdens come in and problems come in, and when you come face to face with the Lord, there can be a real wrestling time. And the Lord, and Jacob prevailed. He wouldn't have let the Lord go. And he said, I want you to bless me. And you know, we're here this morning, and we were thinking in the prayer meeting, God wants to bless you, and he wants to bless me. And he brings this wonderful promise. And Jacob wrestled with God. And at the end of the wrestling match, when God saw the way things were going, he just touched Jacob's thigh. And Jacob had that injury to his thigh that caused him to, not now he's wrestling. His wrestling's past. He's met God and he's become a changed man. His name's changed. He's walking differently now. And you know, I was thinking about Jacob as he as he's touched and he starts to walk. And he goes over the Jabbok, the stream of the Jacob. And there's his wife and his families and his goods and that. And they're saying to him, "Jacob, what's wrong with you?" Ah, he says, "Last night I met with God and he's touched me and I'll never walk the same way again." He says, "I'll never walk like that again." And he limped, or he halted, as the King James says, and all the days of his life, from then on in, he had that limp and he walked. And anybody would ask him, "Jacob, what's the problem?" He says, "I met God and I'm walking differently." What we're going to say as we close this morning, well, we've thought about the goodness of God, and you look over your life and you'll see something of that. And there'll be times you can say, "God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness." But you know, when we come to meet the Savior face to face, it might be a wrestling match before you submit to him. But you know what happens? First of all, they give you a new name. You now become one of the sons of God. What a privilege. He'll bless you. Don't know what lies ahead, but he'll bless you and he'll keep his promises. But then he expects those that place their trust in him, they have to walk differently. You know, you go through your Bible and you'll come across verses that tell you you have to walk in love with one another, folks outside. You have to walk in light. Your walk's got to be transparent. You've got to be what it says in the tin. You've got to walk together. You have to walk in newness of life.